Yo, what up, and welcome to Grizz 901, your favorite Memphis Grizzlies post-game show, but honestly, probably the only one that is up right now. Listen, we're on some weird hours. It is 11:30 Central. They're out on the West Coast. The Grizzlies just lost 137 to 116 to the Golden State Warriors, but as you all know, we're going to go ahead and recap the game as we always do. We're going to go ahead and hit you from the top rope, and then in the second segment, we're going to get into a little bit of Grizz trivia, and I have a good one tonight, one that I've been cooking up myself. And after a game like tonight from our guy, GG Jackson, I got to go ahead and show him some love. So you know what we do here. Let's go ahead and bring Nate in. Hey. You awake, man?
Snorting straight water tonight, man. I'm dehydrated AF. My neck's out. Had to watch that game. Let me ask you, would you rather have that game or have to go into overtime for the second West Coast game this week? What would you rather have?
Listen, I was going to be pretty upset if we went to overtime because me and you actually talked about this. I believe it was today. I don't even know. I believe we discussed this today. I think I've had very little sleep this week due to whatever circumstances surrounding my life, our lives. And so I think it's like four, maybe five at the max hours of sleep each night. This West Coast trip is kicking my tail, man. And so I was sitting there watching. I was watching the game of myself in the sunroom where it's super dark. There's just a TV on. There's no other lights. And I'm just sitting there like, all right, I got to move. This isn't good for anybody. I'm going to fall asleep. Nate's going to be texting me, blowing my phone up like, hey, bro, are you awake?
Nah,
the show starts in a minute. So
I was going to make it a 15-minute show if that's the case. Exactly. So, like, it's just old. So Daniel just doesn't sleep because he's old. I have a wife that is, at this point, rather pregnant, so she wakes up with like heartburn or some random symptom in the middle of the night. My neck went out, so I literally couldn't turn my head right and couldn't go to sleep last night.
Right.
And the two times that I felt okay and she felt okay, we had basketball. So there was a time I used to be excited about that, but not so much right now.
Well, listen, we'll get into the game, obviously, and talk about, what that game looked like. Honestly, it was a fairly close game early on leading into the last 2 minutes of the half. And I know we're going to get into it. I know everybody else has been talking about it on social media for sure. We're going to get into what happened, but this game comes down to a team that has a lot more bullets in the chamber, to use probably a bad analogy, but they have many, many good players compared to the Grizzlies right now. We've never been able to stop Jonathan Kuminga, who is just a crazy athlete. I don't know if you've seen a lot of the dunks tonight, but it looks like when he finally gets up and slams a whoop, hey, there you go. She's back.
Oh, my God.
Just for you, King Meeks. She found her way in. But when Jonathan Kuminga literally just dunks, it looks like when he's slamming one down really hard, it looks like he's literally catapulting up even higher on the dunk. Like, he has that freak athleticism. And so shout out to Kuminga, man. But one guy I really did not notice, and it was completely a quiet game out of him. Let's see what it was. A quiet. Where is it? Where is he? 14 assists. Did you notice, outside of maybe just hearing the announcers or anything, did you really notice Chris Paul in this game?
Yeah. Yeah. He was dicing him up. He was dicing him up, man. Yeah.
I noticed him, but it wasn't like his impression on the game and his fingerprints on the game just wasn't there like I'm used to. And maybe that's just because I'm so used to him controlling the ball so much. And in Golden State, he doesn't look like that type of player. He's still, a willing passer. But I just didn't see it tonight. And I'm not saying that's a negative. It's just like it was just so quiet. I heard them say 11 assists at one point. I was shocked with how many assists it was. Yeah. But end of the night, listen, 14 assists for him. And then you're talking about a double-double out of Draymond, which I played tonight, 10 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. I almost played his triple-double number, but it was plus 550 for a double-double. So shout out to Draymond coming in the clutch for me.
Well, dude, they were cooking tonight. Chris Paul was dicing them up. Steph was cooking them early. Clay was cooking them late. Kuminga had a big night.
Yep.
When they're clicking like that, man, it's tough to beat that team. They haven't clicked like that much this year, but by God, they were doing it tonight. And so, I mean, I look like the Warriors of old, which is not something you've seen a lot this season. So, I mean, you really – kudos to them, man. If they're going to score like that and Wiggins is going to score like that and Kuminga and Clay, I mean, they really got something from everybody tonight. So, it's hard to beat them like that. All that to say, I mean, the Taylor Jenkins decision at the end of the second quarter.
Let's just get to it, man.
Yeah, like, and we've been not Taylor Jenkins defender so much, but like we're gonna be honest, and I don't think either one of us thinks Taylor Jenkins is to blame for how this season has gone, especially because half of our Grizz trivia questions are how many players have played or how many lineups have played this year. But oh, what are you doing sitting Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson at the end of the second quarter?
Yeah.
Like that's like the Grizzlies let go of the rope in the third quarter. And really it wasn't even they let go of the rope. The Warriors just freaking tug of war the piss out of them and took the rope, to be honest. But they started to let the rope slip at the end of the second quarter when they let the Warriors go on that run in the last little bit. I mean, like in a season where I think Taylor Jenkins has had a lot of good coaching moments, a lot of excuses, reasons for why things have gone the way they've gone. I think everybody looked up and was like, what are we doing? Why are we sitting them both? It makes no sense. Like, it's just, and listen, Dez didn't have it tonight, but he still changes the dynamic for everybody else on the floor. We talked about it last game. Like, Gigi playing in space with Desmond Bane on the floor looks a lot different. You know?
Yeah, 100%.
But, granted, that didn't, Gigi was just awesome tonight in and of himself. But, like, why are we sitting both those guys? And all of a sudden, it goes from a nip-tuck game back and forth to Warriors have, did they have a double-digit lead going into the half, or was it
a half? It was a 10-0 run at one point.
Either way, they go on that little run. All of a sudden, they got a lead, and then the third quarter comes out, and they're just like, I mean, they just knock you out. They just hit you with a knockout.
The tidal wave came, and it was you couldn't recover. The momentum was gone. We don't have good enough players to come back from the momentum swing that happened. It was nuts.
But is the end of the first half is when that started to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you let them get the cushion at the end of the first half to be set up for that knockout blow in the third quarter. And they just were never going to recover. And they were going to probably beat you tonight no matter what, the way they were clicking. Right? It's what it is. But, I just don't get it. And it's like one of those things where I hate it because it just gives people who want to be super pissy and negative all the ammunition in the world. And I'm like, I got nothing for it.
Let me break it down a little bit because I actually started doing some digging when the game went completely. It was at one point, I think I text you when I felt like the run was over. It was 33-6 run. It was a total of 7 game minutes. It was the last 2 minutes of the second quarter.
Yeah.
and it was the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. So 33-7. I know it was a 22-0 run, 26-0 run, whatever that was. But 33-6 was the real run before it kind of went back and forth. But looking at this, at 5:10, the coach put in GG Jackson for Bane and Jake Lurie for Jaren at 5:10 in the second quarter. That doesn't make sense to me. That's not a normal rotation. It was kind of confusing. No. And I didn't notice it was that early, but I will say that the Grizzlies were down 47-52. Okay. They were down 5. Within that, 5:10 all the way to 2 minutes, it ended up being tied 58-58. So the Grizzlies actually scored 11 to their 6. So it was 11-6 run for the Grizzlies. And this is just a completely crystal clear. That's 3 minutes of basketball that Taylor Jenkins, the coach, made a decision to go away from Bane and Jaren, which I don't agree with. I don't understand it still. But I just want to give context to exactly what happened. So in those 3 minutes, the Grizzlies outscored them by 11-6. And then they went on a 10-0 run, which was backbreaking. It was a completely momentum stealer. And then you come out of the half and you're already behind it. Like, and you're playing, you know, there in Golden State, which is tough to play in general. It doesn't make sense to me, but does that make sense? Like, maybe that's why he stuck with it, because it was on an 11-6 run.
No, that was a blind squirrel nut. Because here's what happened. I just pulled it up because I don't doubt that you're right. It's when Santi went on that freako run where he's hitting every shot he puts up. That's why that happened. He's sitting there. I see Santi makes 26-foot three-pointer. Santi makes 25-foot. Santi makes 31-foot three-pointer. Like, it's when Santi was doing that. That is the exception to the rule.
Exactly.
Santi Aldama's not doing that. And so you're playing with fire, and it doesn't make any sense to. If you want to leave Santi in because he's cooking, sure. But it didn't make sense. And he did the same thing in the first quarter. In the first quarter, he took Dez and Jaren out at the same time. And same thing. It worked then, but I was like, they just had a bunch of stuff fall their way. They won the 50-50 balls, and you had guys hit shots that are, I mean, at best 50-50 for them to make them most of the time. You know, and so I guess more like 40-60. But at the same time, it was just – it's a freako thing that they were able to go on that little run in those 3 minutes. Much more likely that what happened at the end of the quarter is what's going to happen. So
– and question on that.
You can say it, but nah.
Yeah, question on that. So I didn't realize that until you brought it up. So at the 5:10 mark in the first quarter, he brought both Bane and Jaren out at 5:10. In the second quarter, right before halftime, at 5:10 to be exact. Why and how that happens, I have no idea. But it's definitely something that Taylor Jenkins
has. Basketball gods hate us.
He's got a button in his pocket. He's like, you know, 5:10, I got you guys. We're going to get you out. Listen, I don't know what's going on. The only thing I can think of is you keep them together and you play them together to give them each other. And when you don't have them, you're probably not going to be very good. So it's a little bit of a tank.
So you're saying the power of friendship is a coaching strategy?
No. I'm saying, like, give the other guy somebody good so they're not having to kill themselves to.
Yeah, the power of friendship. The power of friendship.
Yeah, some of it is power of friendship. Hey, that'll be the title of the show.
The power of friendship.
Power of friendship. Shout out to you, Draymond Green. But that's the only thing I'm thinking of is, after looking at that, the only reason you would do that is because you're trying to give the other guy another good player so they're not killing themselves. And honestly, weirdly enough, it works in your favor, because when you take out your two best players, you can't have your two best players on the court, which means you're probably going to lose. And so it's an undercover tank. It has to be.
I don't know. I'm not in the predictive mood at this hour of the evening. But again, I don't think that's like the reason they lost. The Warriors were just clicking on all cylinders tonight, and I think we're going to win that game no matter what coaching decisions Taylor Jenkins made. But I'm like, you put yourself in a hole doing that. Yeah. I think it could have been the reason you lost if things had gone a little bit differently. But again, kudos to the Warriors, man. They play like that, they'll beat almost anybody on any given night. But it helps when you have GG Jackson defending Steph Curry, which, again, I thought GG played really well in both ends tonight. No hate on him, but Steph Curry.
Well, yeah, let's put a bow on it. I will say that you don't give them that 10-0 run, which is a big momentum swing. You keep it to 4-5. You can punch back a little bit. Going into half, you might not win that game. And it might not be a really like close game down the stretch. But what I will say, it's much more enjoyable than that BS that we just watched in that fourth quarter. I was done.
You weren't having fun?
I did the dishes. I'm like trying to keep myself awake. I even made my wife coffee. I don't drink coffee. And so I made her coffee because I saw it there. And I'm like, I'll do this. Whatever to keep myself awake. So, I'd rather them not have that big momentum swing so we can keep playing and kind of stay awake. So,
Let's flip it on the other side. Let's flip it to the positives. Because the positives are, if you told me that you were going to have Jaren, Santi, and Gigi combined for 90 points, plus the Ravia at 102 points, I feel really good about the direction this game was going to go.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, it's really good to see that from a lot of guys. I mean, Santi, again, like, to be a team player, just have to hate on someone. If I hate on somebody on the show, they turn into Spanish Larry Bird for at least a quarter. You know, like that's what's going to happen. So shout out to Santi. Again, I think Santi's looked more aggressive since Bane has been back. It looks like he's more aggressive on the floor, like all around, right? Not just scoring, rebounding, defensively. Looked a lot better. Jaren looked really good tonight. All those shots that we talked about, you would take it 10 times out of 10 because you expect them to fall normally. Most of those fell tonight. It looks better. He gets 28 instead of whatever he had last game. Laravia, we might need to have an actual conversation about Laravia. He continues to look better and better. Like, there was times where I'm like, dude, that's a really good defensive closeout. Like, it's like he's where he needs to be. He's rotating well. He's rebounding really well. I'm like, you know, it's, I don't know. Am I just making things up because the season's been so bad? I'm desperate for something to be happy about. Probably. I don't know.
But no, listen, I will say, as LOL Nope Jones is saying here, you know, Santi is a guy that needs a star because what happens is Santi's best asset is the fact that he can be a stretch guy. Like he can get his shot off pretty quickly. It, just like, you know, incredible job by GG and what he's been doing on, you know, just his shot in general. But the fact that when he catches, the catch release is so quick. And Santi, going back to him, he keeps it up high for the most part. And so having somebody who takes all the attention, majority of the attention at least, with either Bane or Jaren, you have the usage rate isn't so high. You have a catch and shoot player again instead of a catch and you're trying to create off the dribble and then pull up. He is more of the catch and shoot, whip around the ball. And honestly, it keeps the ball out of his hands more, which keeps him away from the temptation of going behind the back, even though he had one tonight. It looked good.
Well, it's always been the same thing with me. Like your benefit to is a 7-footer who can stretch the floor, but I need you to play like a 7-footer.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it's like it takes getting that other star next to him for him to start being aggressive and playing like that 7-footer. So. Yeah. I think you and me both agree, like, he is a guy. He's a guy. He's never going to be more. He's never going to be less, right? He didn't step up with other guys out. But we always thought he would look better with these guys around him. I think, I mean, so far we underestimated how much better he would look with those other guys around him. But I do want to stick, and just we don't have to talk about it much, but with Laravia, this is a stretch of games, like weeks of games, where there's been a bunch of guys that have been on the floor for Memphis. There's been a bunch of guys, but pretty much every one of them, I'm like, dude, get this guy off the floor. Like, what's happening right now? Including Jaren in some moments.
Yeah.
It's been weeks since I said, we get Laravia off the floor. He's killing us.
Right.
I mean, again, he's not necessarily been a shining star the entire time, but dude, he fits. He's doing his job, and he is playing a role. And I'm like, listen, I just want to give kudos because the same thing. Like, I couldn't watch the guy play basketball at the beginning of the year. So every time he comes out and he performs to a level where I'm like, dude, you look like you are a contributing factor to the good things that happen for this team, I got to give props because it keeps happening over and over again. And, you know, Chris, our guy Chris, brought up Laravia or Zaire in the last show. And I was like, Laravia, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, right now, it's – I see it night in and night out. One of them's on the court, one of them isn't. And he keeps proving himself every time he's out there. Yeah. So shout out to him. But that's really the star of the night is we both know who it is. It's national television.
We'll get to him real quick. I'm going to hit on Matt Skate News. What happened to Laravia? Did he get some LeBron steroids? Bro, that's so spot on. Shout out to you, Matt Skate News. What I will say is the difference of those good standout games that we've seen with Jake Laravia is like, that's fine. I think those are great. All in the games that I want to see is a game like tonight. Let me read you off exactly how he played. Okay. He had 32 minutes, which is more than usual. If that was a 24 ish minute, I would be more happy with it, but still 32 minutes. I'm fine with it. Because this wasn't a stellar game by him. He went 3 of 10 overall, 2 of 6 from deep, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 12 points. He was a minus 6. Those kind of games I want to see. Outside of the 32 minutes, I'd like to see less. But the reason I say that is because it wasn't like he had everything cooking. he had to work. And also, when everything wasn't working, he didn't completely kill you. Like on the defensive end, he wasn't just a turnstile. He wasn't a traffic cone. He was a guy who was there. He was getting some key rebounds. And that's the kind of games that you need out of a completely end of the bench, maybe your 12th guy, somebody who can actually grow in a year or so into being somebody who can you can kind of replace with a guy like that, or using a trade asset to make your team better. But I think really what he's showing is, even though he's not playing well at times, he's still contributing enough.
We just need to back to the future this so that we can trade him and get Roddy back. If we had had this pre-deadline, we could still have David Roddy on the team. And it would matter nothing other than I would be happy about it.
No. Listen, they're fine. And you know, they're fine what they are. But they're never going to be a rotation player. I don't think so ever. No. If they are, that means that we've somehow either gotten really bad or they've increased by a lot. Yeah. Because there's no way that Jake should be a rotation player unless he just completely shows that he can contribute. Tonight's the night that I like that he actually contributed, even though he didn't have it all working.
He is still, like, at best, end of bench guy.
Very much.
But he's becoming more and more so an asset to the team. And it's kind of like you talked about last show, Santi, asset, whether it's for Santi playing within a rotation or getting traded.
Exactly.
Jake is putting himself in territory he can be useful to this team one way or the other.
Yep.
Right. And so, listen, it's the same thing. If we're going to rag on dude every time he looked as terrible as he did at the beginning of the year, I'm going to give him props when he comes on and performs much better. So,
yep. Absolutely. All right. We'll get to GG. But before we get there, just kind of give you a little bit of who we are. We are Grizz on a One by Bluff City Media. If you do us a favor, go ahead and hit the like button. I know these late night games, sometimes we catch up a lot of newer people, newer viewers. But go ahead and hit the like button if you don't mind. If you're on Twitter, hit the like and the share, if you would, please. You keep freezing in the funniest spots, and so it's pretty good.
You keep freezing on the funniest spots.
Shut up. But the Grizzlies go down 137-116 to the Warriors tonight. And so we'll be back here Friday night again after the Spurs game. If this is your first time, welcome. If it's not, thank you for joining us. Thank you for keep coming back. Also, we're trying to do a membership thing through YouTube. I talked to Kenny about that, and we're going to start working on it. We're not sure what it's going to look like, but we're going to look to possibly, you know, within Bluff City Media, giving out some, you know, better content, and whether when you subscribe to and join, you can actually get access to this, but also you can get access to the Discord. All that's going to be lumped in together where you have other content that you might not be able to get. But also it has some cool things within the membership where it turns your name a different color, and it kind of shows how long you've been here. So some cool tools. But anyway, let's go ahead and get to GG. GG tonight has an incredible game, 35 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 7-14 from deep, and 11-19 overall. He was only a minus 8. Only a mindset. The reason I say that is because Jaren was 27, Aldama 23, Kontar 20, and then Bane 18. So the fact that he played the most minutes, the most minutes overall, and he did not have a just outlandish 20 plus, you know, plus minus on the minus side, that means that he's played very well. Thoughts on GG?
Dog, if the Grizzlies had 82 nationally televised games, GG would be averaging like 32-6-6. I mean, like, national TV GG is different, just guy. A whole nother level. I don't know what it is, but hey, I love having a guy that shines when the lights are brightest. It's awesome. But dude, he just continues to look good. And honestly, part of what I thought about during that game, and obviously GG had an amazing game in his own right, and he's just doing it in different ways, taking guys off the dribble, getting to the foul line, hitting those outside shots. He was doing it all.
Yeah.
But I think the guy who probably shined the most tonight because of the way the game went was Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
And I just think about a couple of years ago, Jonathan Kuminga was not what he is now a couple of years ago.
No.
Even a year ago, he's taken a big jump, right? Yeah. When you look at the progress he's made in just a couple of years, and then you look at GG and what he's doing now, and the fact he's only 19 years old, it's like, man, the way some of these guys can develop. We talk about Jaren can still develop because he's so young, right? You know, it's all this stuff. 19 years old, and he's doing this on the road, on national television for like the third time this year. There's just no telling. There's no telling what he's going to be. I mean, he's what, 6'10", right? He's 6'10"?
Kuminga?
No. I'm talking about Gigi.
Yeah, I think
Gigi's like 6'10". Dude, the Grizz just found such a diamond in the rough. Yet again, you know, it's like the sixth time they've done it, but this one might be the brightest out of them all, which is crazy to say when Desmond Bane's one of those guys. Well, it's just crazy.
Yeah, so what I saw about Gigi was incredible. Like, the way he's playing, his catch and shoot, how quickly he can get that off is amazing. But what I will say is I was watching him and Kuminga kind of go at each other. And, you know, Kuminga's second year, correct?
No, I think it's year three. Pretty sure it's year three.
How old is Kuminga? He is 21. It's probably his third year. Either way. It actually even helps better. So I was looking at them going against each other, and Kuminga was defending against Gigi. And it honestly made me smile because the way Kuminga was pressing up into Gigi, not anything, you know, bad in any way. He was more, I wouldn't say a vet. He was into him and being more aggressive because he was literally like, he's kind of grown into his body enough and within his game where he can actually get into you a little bit, I guess, use his athleticism, use his size to be able to get those steals, to get those pokes that, you know, to run the transition. And I saw that and I thought Gigi is nowhere close to that right now, but they are a difference of a couple years to where Gigi in year three could be that good defensively, showing those signs and showing where he could actually, he's incredible on the offensive end, but what he could become on the defensive end, once he kind of gets his legs underneath of him a little bit, I really do think that could be incredible for him. And so it's something that stuck out to me. It's very minute, very small. But I will say that I think that Kuminga is awesome, but I see a lot in Gigi and Kuminga together. They're kind of the same, you know, very lengthy, long players. And I think that they're both very athletic. And I think obviously Gigi has a better offensive outside game compared to Kuminga, but dude, Kuminga's incredible around the rim.
Well, Kuminga's developing that outside game and doing a lot to develop his touch. So you got to give props for props are due. I think Kuminga's probably more of a pure athlete than Gigi, but at the same time, you just don't see guys at 6'9", 6'10", moving the way that Gigi does. And it's raw.
Yeah.
It is completely raw right now. I mean, they are like, he has just barely scratched the surface of like learning the NBA game and developing as an NBA player. And it's just crazy. You know, we keep saying, hey, he probably like asking him to really be a huge contributor next year is like a big jump, but it's like, feels like every week we're like closer, like maybe not,
right?
You know, it's just crazy to see what he's doing, you know, and it seems like he's doing it consistently now in a few games since Bane's been back. It's wild, man. And so it's just fun to watch. And in a lost season, these are the kind of things that you look for. And these are the real silver linings.
Yeah.
Right. So
absolutely. Yep. So Kuminga played great. Going back to his first year, he didn't look like that much of a player. And honestly, in his second year, it was rumored that Kerr was giving up on him. The fact that he's flipped that and kind of shown a little bit, shout out to him, but also shout out to Gigi for just looking the way he does already within one season, going from the G League and being signed to that contract to now being signed to a real contract. And honestly, every time he's on national TV, dude, he just balls out. It's awesome, man. It's so much fun. Anything else you got on the game before we take our first break?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready for the early games again. That's it. That's all.
We need some kind of a break. All right. Real quick, we'll be right here back here in 1 minute.
not just the level of individual talent that he plays, but it's also the level of his mind. We haven't gotten cross-court open shot this year. Right. We haven't seen that pass a lot. Number one, you got to respect him going to the basket. There's a roller. I got to watch the roller. He has the mind to be able to say, I see all of that, and now I see this guy over here. I'm going to get him this open shot. How shifty he is to always be going forward. It's usually side to side.
Yeah.
His dribble moves are side to side, but going forward.
Right.
Which is very hard to defend. I just want to get you, as many times can I get you to do this? But for him, it's not here. It is here, which is with are his moves to get down the floor. It's awkward for a defender to try to catch a cadence. This, you dribble. So now what I do is now when you go put that ball down, I'm going for it. But with him, there's no, it's hard for my cadence. But what's my cadence for you? I don't know what it is.
Tune in to the Anthony Sane Show Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Welcome back to Grizz 901, Memphis Grizzlies postgame show. Live for you here. Looks like it's about to round up into midnight here locally. But tonight, the Grizzlies are coming off of a loss to the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, in the end, I think it was a fun game until it kind of got out of hand very late. Just kind of make sure you stay tuned in. But Nate, I was talking to a friend of mine today. And guess who it works for?
You're lying. You don't have friends.
I do have a friend.
No, that's not true.
Do you know who he works for?
So you don't feel so alone. But I have a guess. It was Pews.
It was Pews. Pews Residential Spray. Go ahead and give them a shout out. If for some reason you feel like you need to get rid of those weeds, man, just call Pews Residential Spray and they will help you. Any kind of a weed issue that you might have, get the pre-emerge on right now. That's the biggest thing. If you can get all that, I'm telling you, no reason to wait around and try to kill the weeds once they're up. Try to prevent them. And so that's what Pews Residential Spray can do for you. But go ahead and give them a call now at 901-633-2118 and let them know the Grizz 901 crew sent you. Remember, it's Pews. You get the big company straight, the small company values. Had my father-in-law turned on to them today. And so he is back home. He's healthy after his quadruple bypass surgery. He met with the Pews team, was out walking around the yard like an idiot. But it is what it is. And so he's now signed up for Pews Residential Spray. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy. But yeah, give him a shout out. Good company. My father-in-law, crazy. Crazy. That's 70 whatever, 4 days after or 5 days after quadruple bypass surgery, and he's out walking around the yard just like nothing's happening. But anyway, let's get to King Meek's favorite thing, baby. Grizz trivia. We're coming off of a great game out of GG Jackson tonight. So it's all about GG and GG and the cat just for King Meek's tonight. But GG is, you know, he's kind of going up the ladder a little bit within the rookie talk. He's now played 36 games this season. I can't imagine that he actually qualifies for any of the awards, but you never know. He could get maybe a second team potentially if he's able to qualify. I just don't know if you have to be on the 65-game rule for rookies as well.
I don't know. I assume you do, but whatever. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Either way. Playing exceptional this year, and he's playing very good as of late. But the GG question I have for you is, where does GG rank among points per game among all rookies? He has 36 games this season.
Don't tell me the points per game.
And he has so many points per game. Let's see, the chat's got it.
I'm going to say second. I'm going to say number two.
Second. Well, LOL, nope. Jones got the little eyeglass. He's thinking, just like you. Not very well. He's not number two, I can tell you that.
Is he number one?
He is not number one. Victor Wembanyama is number one.
Oh, you're 20... talking about this year's rookie. I thought you meant Grizzlies history rookies.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. No, this year. I'm sorry. Okay. So 20.7 is Victor Wembanyama. I've already said he's second.
No.
Second.
I'm going to put him at...
Second is Chet Holmgren with 17.1. So a three-point difference there.
Trying to think of the other rookies. Who else is there? No, Keontae George, my guy. My guy, Keontae George. I assume it's probably not very high up there. He had a bunch of games and not many points at the beginning of the year.
Keontae George is ranked fifth with, I won't tell you the points.
Keontae George is fifth?
Keontae George is fifth.
I'm put GD at four.
Keontae George has played in 62 games, dude.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. He had a bunch of games at the beginning of the year where he was not putting up numbers.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year.
I see that Matt Skate News says that Chet is not a rookie. He actually is. He clarifies as a rookie, even though he's in a second year. He didn't play. But you got it. GG at fourth. GG now has he stepped up from Keontae George. He was tied at 12.8 points per game before the game. And with tonight's performance, he is now at 13.4 points per game. Incredible run that he's having. And one of those, I think one, if not two of those games, is limiting his number a lot. Because I don't think he scored. I think he had like 1 or 2 minutes. There was a couple of games early on where he did not have many minutes at all. With very little points, and so that's skewing the number. But so if you actually took his like top 30 games, he's probably closing in on the on Wembanyama as well. So good one. So let me read them off to you, and tell me your thoughts on these guys real quick. Wemby, one word.
Freako.
Wemby. Freako. Chet.
Freako too.
The other Freako. Brandon Miller.
Pleasantly surprising.
16.7 points per game right now. Then you have GG. What's the one of our for him?
Shining star. the moon and the stars. I'll say on Brandon Miller, like I have been really surprised by how far he came after the beginning of this year. I didn't expect it to be this year. He started looking that good.
Let's go through the last six. Keontae George is fifth. I know you love Keontae
underrated.
George. Yeah. Scoot Henderson, even though he has 50 games under his belt this year, 12.7.
That's not one word, but stuck in Portland.
True. Jaime Jaquez.
Impressive.
Cam Whitmore, who a lot of people had issues with in the draft, or I guess his former coach, and I always confused him, I think Keontae George, in the draft.
Yeah. On draft night. I mean, talented.
Yeah. Pods. We saw him tonight.
Punchable. I'm just kidding. No, truly, like, impressive. Like, he's been very consistent for them this year, truly. Like, it's been.
Is there anybody he reminds you of? I have one guy that he reminds me of. Is there anybody he reminds you of?
Pods? No, not really. I mean.
He reminds me of a mixture of Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart. Both Villanova guys, both hard workers, but DiVincenzo has the three. Josh Hart really doesn't as much, but Josh Hart is a guy who can rebound well, but he's kind of a mixture between those guys.
How come Pod's face always bleeding? There's always got a bloody punchable nose or a bloody, like I truly, like I was making a joke, but now I thought about it. I was like, man, I'd see that dude's face bleed a lot in NBA games. Yeah. Gotta Absolutely. Help that guy out.
All right. So last one is Derek Lively. And so that's he'll round at the top 10. But surprisingly at 11, we saw him not too long ago in Portland. Duop Reith.
Shout out to Wayno.
He's 11.
Wayno's like, get him in here, sneak him in the top 10. Maybe he'll be a Grizzly.
Duop Reith. And so Trey Jemison is 23rd. I was trying to look through here.
Trey hit stuff with the baby hook tonight, and I was like, Trey, you gotta back this dude down. You can't baby hook stuff.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Come on, man. Dude, I'm telling you, Keontae George, man. I think people are still sleeping on Keontae George. He was my favorite. Like, obviously, he's not the best rookie coming out of this class. Like, not even close. But I was like, he's still, in my mind, is the most underrated guy coming out of that draft. I still think he's going to be awesome for the Jazz.
You think Saints saying pods is jitty? I feel like our stuff is weird tonight. Weird looking.
Jitty, but can hit a floater. An open three.
Don't like that.
What are you doing?
It looks different than normal. All right, I like that.
Dude, you can't be making in-game adjustments like that. It's like Taylor Jenkins taking Dez and Jaren out to close the half. What are we doing?
Hey, let me show you a little bit of what I've been working on. This is the reason that half the stuff has been off tonight. Let me show you a little bit behind the scenes of what I've been doing and having to do lately. We'll go into story time. Give me 2 minutes. I showed you earlier, but this is completely off the rails. But this is what I have been doing the last 2 days. Penelope's podcast. Penelope's place. So this is my daughter's. Shout out to her.
I'm just saying, I would be careful putting this up because King Meeks is going to see this plus the cat in the background, and he's going to ruin this forever. Forever. Especially like the glitter and just the general like neon-y look. I'm telling you, King Meeks is taking this to a place you're never going to be able to bring it back from.
I can't find the cat. She's in this room, I believe.
Listen, King Meeks, glitter, and kitty, there's only one direction this can go.
Listen, shout out to her. The reason we're doing this, and shout out to Kenny, who's actually going to help me edit this, as he waits. I've just taken 7 screenshots. So we designed this with her liking. She's doing a VIP thing where she has to, do a project. She's in second grade, I believe. You know, she picked, and shout out to her, a kind-hearted, very good individual, probably much better than me in life. But she wanted to do, I just drew a blank, Ruby Bridges. Sorry. And so she wanted to interview her. She was like, I want to interview. And she goes, what if I do a podcast like you? And I'm like, all right. So we started thinking about it. So now we have split screen where we record her asking the questions, and then she's going to answer the questions, but dressed up as, you know, as her, just with a nice dress on, you know, something in her hair or whatever. And what a little girl would wear going to first grade. And we're going to mix it where she's going to ask the question, sit there and watch her answer the question. And it's going to go back and forth. It's going to be really cool. But for a second grade project, it was cool. We did Penelope's place. And so it was pretty funny, but anyway,
that's pretty cool, man.
I got to get off of this before people give me a hard time.
Well, listen, I haven't seen a single King Meeks comment come through. I'm not sure if somebody put him in timeout just to be safe or what, but listen,
do not search the website. Cool,
yeah, exactly. Do not search the website.
This is my daughter, guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm proud of our comment section of our 901 Mafia. We can't do Bluff City Mafia. We'll do 901 Mafia for tonight. Yeah. You get a temporary name for your good behavior. That's pretty cool though, man. That is pretty cool that she's kind of trying to copy you. That's a cool dad moment for you.
Yeah, well, it was. She was like, and we set it all up. And so we did the whole, I said that, I guess this, I turned this into a pink purple area behind me, get the actual couch to sit on behind me that always you can see. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been a challenge. That's why all my camera, everything has been off. I literally had to take time to actually get it ready. I don't have to do it. It's frustrating. But overall, anything else that you have on this? I do want to talk about what's upcoming just for a little bit, for a couple minutes. But anything else that you have on the Warriors tonight?
No, man. Listen, same thing. I hate that it was a blowout, but if I'm being honest, if the Warriors aren't clicking, that game could end differently. And I liked a lot what I saw from Memphis tonight. Dez had an off night, which is going to happen when you're in your third game back from however many months he's been out. Deke Jarreau with 10 rebounds, that dude just always in the mix.
Always.
You know, he's always. He's never going to be anything for Memphis, but it's cool to see that. Like, I always love that kind of guy. But as far as that, nothing, man. Listen, just keep riding the GG train. How many good things can we have going into next year?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I will say this, dog. Shout out counseling. I just want to make sure that we are advocates for mental health on here. So shout out counseling. I'm glad it's definitely worked. Just really happy to see that, you know, we're really following through on that.
We got a tired King Meeks tonight. He's obviously off his game, but he did say he's got to go to work. I'm not sure what that is, but if he is or not, but I think he said he got to be up in 12 hours or he's got to be up.
Just glad you're here.
Yeah, whatever. But this is the other thing I want to get to is D'Angelo wants to know what's going on with Vince. So any thoughts on maybe if he's done for the season? What is it you think?
I don't think so. He was doubtful tonight. I think he probably comes back and plays still. Listen, I'm sure there's a lot of unexpected wear and tear on him. You know, he's doing a lot of that he wasn't supposed to be doing. And it's like they're playing with like nine bodies a night. So he's coming in. It's not just like, oh, hey, welcome to the NBA. You're playing real minutes. Like, hey, welcome to the NBA. You're playing 35 minutes and stuff. And, by the way, you're also our primary ball handler most of the time. You're also guarding the other team's best player most of the time. Hey, we still need you to grab rebounds too if you can. So, yeah, it's probably just some wear and tear. But I think he'll be back.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And shout out to everybody in here. And King Meek saying he just did 12 hours of work. So shout out to you because I promise you, I hate doing 8. And most of the time, I don't have to do 8. Sorry, boss. I hope you're not watching this. But I will say that, the dedication from you all hanging out with us has been incredible. Yep. We talked about it earlier in the show. This is like y'all make this show. And the fact that you're here this late makes it. Let's talk about one more thing before we preview the next one. Deke. A little bit of Will Barton without – he doesn't have the shot. Will's got the shot, but very long, kind of has a knack for going and get the random rebounds. It kind of just slithers his way through the lane a little bit. Like, he's always just kind of going through weird and kicking it out, whatever. Looks good.
Yeah, super active in the mix, but I wouldn't want Will Barton without a shot.
No, that's the issue.
that's the problem.
All right. I don't know what Matt Skate News is saying. Who's the guy from Mexico?
Oh, the new I don't know. He's number 29. He's player number 29. That's all I got.
Oh, the new. Yeah. No idea. Mm-hmm. 10 day, right?
Yeah. Listen, I quit getting attached to these guys. It's kind of like, you know, you get your third puppy and something like that. And you're just like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get attached to this one. So that is the 29th player to play for the Grizzlies. That's all I know about him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's preview a little bit of what's going on. Before we do, we'll tell you a little bit about our other sponsor, the team preview sponsor. And I cannot find whatever I'm looking for. Here it is. Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Honestly, having the pop-up very soon. I believe it's in April now. It was going to be at the end of March, and now it's April. But if you need any kind of healthy eating, a healthy lifestyle, any kind of a change, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen is the grassroots business that was started right here in Memphis. Chef Smith is a Memphian that promotes the healthy eating and the wellness, and he can hook you up. If you're looking to cook at home, go get the cookbook. I put the link in the chat last time, or it might have been the GoFundMe. For him starting up his new, what is it? Not a trailer.
Pop up?
No.
Food truck.
Food truck. Sorry. It's late. I promise you. I have no health.
Well, I'm putting it on solo.
Anyway, go check it out. I'll try to put it in there. It's in the show. That's what I did last time. One of the last few comments, I'll put it in there so that way you can see it if you see it live. But go ahead and help them out. If you got any extra cash, you want to show some love, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen does a good job. The food is great. But they're going to do a pop-up coming soon in April. So make sure you stay tuned. If you want any of that information, go over to orderhhk.com. You can check out everything that Chef Smith's got going on. They've been serving and catering plant-based and vegan gourmet foods straight to you.
Yeah, right. I just realized you could see my can the entire show over here for the most part. And I was like, I better go shut that door while I've got a chance.
I thought somebody was back there. I wasn't sure.
Well, you were just going to let me die. Honestly, it would have been doing me a favor. No, so we're good. We're good. Shout out counseling.
K King Mix said, Food Truck May said pop-up. No, there is a pop-up. There is a
pop-up.
There is a pop-up. Get out of here with that.
Listen, at least I went out there saying trailer, King Me. Daniel's like, hey, man, he's just sitting there just tossing
food
it up
trailer.
On the trailer. The rusty iron on the back of a trailer.
See, that's where I was confused. It is called a food trailer.
You're a food trailer.
That's how they get you. The pop-up is April the 7th. It's going to be here in Memphis, April the 7th. I have all the information now. Shut up.
You're a towel.
All right, shout out to everybody. Shout out to you here from Penelope's Place, Wayne. Shout out to you, man. Go have a good time. Pick up the kids on the other side of the world. All right, last thing I want to hit on. You're not going to be here Friday. The Grizzlies take on the Spurs. I'm going to actually have Ryan come on, I believe. He's actually going to be on the road somewhere, and so he has good Wi-Fi.
I'm gonna ask.
So I'm bringing him on just because of that factor alone. But he should
be.
I'm not sure where he's going or anything. I just know that he's going to have Wi-Fi. But we're going to talk about the Grizzlies in the very beginning, and then we're going to talk on the back end of the show. Maybe anything exciting from the tournament, anything to look at, maybe stuff to bet on if you're interested in that. So it might be a throwaway for you. Up to you. It's a Friday night. I figured it's going to cover the entire Saturday, Sunday games, and then also recap a little bit from Thursday and Friday. Listen, I love the NCAA tournament, and so that's the reason I wanted to bring him on. But upcoming, what the Grizzlies really have is going to be more road games, in case anybody's wondering. It just is like the next two, and they go Lakers back home on the 27th, and then they finish with the Magic in March. So if you're looking, you'll be back here on Monday against the Nuggets. But Spurs and Nuggets, do you expect that the Grizzlies possibly get maybe a win against the Spurs?
Yeah, there's a chance for sure. I mean, it's far from guaranteed. Like, that is not guaranteed. But the Spurs are a super, super young team, you know. Yeah. And it's like they've got talent, but it doesn't all fit together. You know, they've got Vassell and Wemby. Those are two guys. Sochan is a really good role player, I think, or a good role player, maybe not really good. You got Lil Tyus over there. Keldon Johnson is a weird one to me because it felt like he was kind of on the rise, and this has been whatever this year has been. And obviously Wemby coming is like, hey, this is the guy now, and that changes the focus. But I'm still like, feels like it's been a big drop off for him. But, you know, we'll see. It feels like a team that you could have good GG game against. You'll need a good Jaren game and a better Dez game. So, yeah, absolutely they could. They can pull it off. I'm going to be trying to watch if I can.
Yeah. And shout out to all y'all trying to get Brevin Knight on here. Dude, I'd love to. Unfortunately, he has Bally's. Just, he has an actual post game. He does.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing I want to ask on is the record. The Grizzlies 23-47 officially now. Toronto Raptors are 23-46. It's actually embarrassing that they're 23-46. They're without RJ Barrett right now, which is a reason. Obviously, his younger brother died, so prayers up to that family. I know they're obviously going to be going through it, but the fact that the Grizzlies are now, I said this a long time ago, they're going to be in sixth or seventh, that's really what it's coming down to. And so with now so many less games remaining, going to have to figure out what they do. Like, can you somehow keep piling up losses enough to stay in that sixth spot to give you a little bit better percentage shot than the seventh spot. But either way, I believe that the Grizzlies were in the seventh spot when they landed Ja that year. If I'm not mistaken, they should have been in the seventh. So
either way, I can't believe it's even like a thing that they might drop to seven. I love anything. Yeah. There's a chance they might jump up to five, but somehow they're further away from five and closer to seven than they were. I mean, oof,
dark. And they're officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Was that tonight?
I think it's with tonight.
Oh,
sorry, I didn't notice.
I was at my chiropractor today, and he's like, "Oh, did the Grizzlies have a shot to play?" And I was like, "Just no, stop." I was like, thanks for asking. Thanks for being kind.
All right, so I'm kind of feeling this. Black Ninja DJ, shout out to you as always being here. Projected seventh for the year when we landed Ja. I thought so. Dude, might be something in the water. Might.
Yeah.
We'll see. Either way, I'm fine six or seven. I don't think you can make me mad either way. I think it's the luck of the draw, luck of the ping pong balls as they fall. So I don't think there's going to be anything that you'd be like, hey, you know, we have to be in six. I don't know the percentages of being in six or seven, depending on, you know, your chances for the top four. And we'll see. This is not the draft that I really want to be in the top whatever, but it's better than not.
I did want to ask you, because ironically, of all the guys I've talked about it with and you've talked about it with, we haven't talked with each other about this at all. And we'll get into it we get closer to draft season. But is there like a guy or like a three guys that you're like, I actually like this? Or just a prototype out of this draft. If they're going to draft, obviously, if they trade the pick, that's probably ideal.
I think Sar has the body.
Yeah.
He's a big, so he fills a hole. I don't think he's a guy that you probably want to start next to Jaren, like right away next year. Not if you're going to be a contender. I don't think there's a starter in this draft for a good team. Being, you know, yes, they probably will start on some bad teams potentially, but I don't think there's a starter in this draft that will be starting for the Grizzlies next year.
Yeah.
I think Sar's fine. I don't know if you use that pick to go get Sar, but maybe what happens is, and we always bring up Mikal Bridges because we think he's a good fit, but that really could be the time that you would say, hey, this other team, you probably do want a guy, a top pick that you can go get somebody that you can, you know, mold your future around. And maybe that's when you have a chance to use that trade chip to go get somebody. But besides it, that's it. There's nobody. If I can't get Sar, I don't even care if I'm in the top five. I probably don't even care if I'm in the top 10. I would rather be down 12 to 18 and get somebody that is serviceable, but also the reason you fell down 12 to 18 is because you traded that. And so you've got an asset, right? And then you're able to move down and then get another decent asset to fill, you know, maybe your big spot or maybe a guy that you just like his intangible. So Ryan talked about a guy that he loves. I can't remember his name now, but he's in the G League and he's actually behind one of the top draft picks. He plays behind him and actually has less minutes, but has the same amount of stats pretty much as he does. And so we'll see. But is there anybody that you've seen at all? Have you paid attention to it all?
No, I mean, I only know prototypes. You know me, I don't really watch much college basketball till pretty much tomorrow. So that's pretty much when I start. But I'm sold on if you don't trade that pick, go get a bench scorer. Like if you don't trade the pick, get a guy who can score off the bench. Like I know Chris was talking about Donovan Klingon. The Grizzlies have a need for bigs, like all that. And that's all super real. At the same time, Dalton connects the guy. I look at. And it's because he's a guy who can score.
Yeah.
And he's got length. And the way the NBA is going, man, you know, you want guys who can be bench scorers, guys who can kind of catch fire off the bench. But also, dude, you've watched the Grizzlies going up against a lot of these teams, and they're just small, man.
Yeah,
they're small. You need guys who have some size. And if you can get size across the board and guys who can score, I think that's the biggest thing. So, and I think you can probably trade back from wherever you are and get them based off what I've been hearing. And again, I'm not a draft expert.
Yeah.
This is only based off what other people are saying.
Yeah.
But if you can trade back a little bit in that draft, if you're not getting rid of the pick entirely, get him. Yeah, man.
All right. Well, I think there's, you know, potential. And I think you're in the same lines as, and me and you both with the Black Ninja DJ saying, you know, Sar and Connect. I like Connect. I think he can be a good player. The issue, and Ryan even brought this up, is he kind of has to have the ball in his hands a lot that we've seen. I don't know if that's necessarily true because as you kind of change, like he was at a junior college, I think, and then maybe another junior college or smaller college before he came to Tennessee. And so I think that he is decent. I think he has a good enough shot to be a guy that can be a a spot up shooter. He reminds me, you know, a little bit more of the Kyle Korver type guy. And so I think he is serviceable. I think he's good. But I don't want to be in the top five getting in, you know, drafting a guy like him.
That's what I'm saying. You can draft back.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that. You move me back and I'm okay with getting any of these guys. I don't need to be in the top drafting any of these players. None of these wowed me. Nobody wows me.
Yeah, but also I will say the guy dropped 40 almost twice in a week in SEC play.
I agree.
That's legit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like the guards from Kentucky. I saw somebody had that question. They're just too small. They're too small because honestly, if I get somebody in the top 10, your best player is always going to be John Morant. Nobody is better than John Morant. Okay, I don't want to go get somebody that's a top 10 player that I can't play with my best player. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I know that they're a microwave score. This team is small already. We need to be bigger. I'm okay with the microwave score, but I think that you can find that in other ways. And I don't think that's the way of this team anymore. I think it's fine. I think it's regular season fine. I don't think it wins you postseason games. I don't know of any microwave score that's really won postseason games that I can just think off the top of my head. I like them. I think they're great players. I think they're going to be okay pros. I just think they're really good on the college level, and I think they're going to be good in the NBA. But I don't know if they're ever going to be, you know, if your best player is a guard, you kind of need to surround big guys around your guard. And I've always believed in that. That's why I like the Jaren being big, Dez being a different player, and then Ja being the kind of creator. So anyway.
Also trade the pick.
go get somebody that really can fit this team. I really do. But anyway, all right, we're Grizz on a One, the post game show here with Bluff City Media. We're here each and every game. We'll be here Friday night. I'll have Ryan with me. Nate's actually going to be on vacation, moved into the new digs there. I see
he's a completely got my camping in. Table set up right here, nobody can see. Exactly.
So it's been good, man. So a lot of things going on in both of our lives, but obviously you just moved. Baby time is nearing. It's always getting closer.
To be clear, I am about to have a baby. We are pregnant. Nothing's happening after the show. Just want to clarify on Daniel's behalf. It's late, man. You never know. We had the glitter and the neon and the blue lights in the background. So make sure everyone knows. That's all.
All right, so but that's all we got. Shout out to Streetcars of Memphis, the comment section sponsor. If you need any lift kit, wheels, whatever you might need, they can modify them all. And so go ahead and give them a shout. Give them a call over at 901-323-3332. You can check them out online at 901scm.com. But give them the Grizz on a One code when you call them. You get a $55 regular oil change or $65 for full synthetic. So if it's anything from any modifications at all, you know, from lifts, lights, wheels, speakers, whatever it might be, they can do everything there. So shout out to the Streetcars of Memphis. A shout out to all of you hanging out with us, man. You shouldn't be here after midnight, honestly, but I'm glad you are because I'm going to be here. Nate's going to be here and we're glad you're all here hanging out with us. Thank you all for kind of being kind to us as always throughout the entire season. This has kind of been a blast. This is our first time really going through every game. I think I'm going to try to, count really how many games we did this year because I'm not sure how many it is. So I know we're not going to do 82, but I bet we get over the 65. I bet we're eligible. For awards.
Let's go. Yeah, y'all got to nominate us. It's requirement.
All right, that's all we got, man. You've all been amazing, but that's all we got. We'll see you all Friday night. Hey, buckle up, it's gonna be a fun tournament.
I'm a fun guy.
He's fun. I'm Daniel. Be nice and tell your friends.